Well, you pet stylist, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird. Alrighty, groomers. Hey, Susie, what's up? Hello, Barbara. Welcome to episode 238 of the Groom Pod, recorded on January 12th, 2020 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. Barbara, this is the last time you're going to talk to me while I'm 58.
Oh, no, this is the last time you're going to talk to me while I'm 79. When is your birthday?
3 days.
Oh, you're before me. I'm next Sunday.
58, Barbara, the last time, because in 3 days, it's my birthday, and I'm going to be 50. No, wait a minute. How old am I?
How I'm going to be
58.
Be?
I'm 57 now. I was in a hurry.
Boy, you jumped one there real quick. You can't be too worried about it if you're doing that.
I'm not. It's only a number.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll say that right up until 60, and then you'll say, oh, fuck, what happened?
My feet already think I'm 60 at least, and my head thinks I'm 18, so it's a strange kind of a conundrum.
I would say more like 14.
Okay, you're probably right.
But, you know, like, I cannot believe 80. I mean, I absolutely can't.
Mind blown,
and oh well, so yes. What? You
know. Well, here's what. This podcast is brought to you by listener support through Patreon and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Evolution Shears, and The Absorber. I am going to talk about being a vet groomer today. Barbara's going to talk about how surfactants interact in shampoo formulas, and we're both going to talk about how to talk to your boss about products when you know more than they do. So you can join our discussion at facebook.com/group/thegroompod, and you can find that donation button and the Patreon button, and basically that's our only means of support at this point. You can find all of that at thegroompod.com. And remember to subscribe to the show and share it with your friends. And you guys do that because I've been seeing a lot of new people coming on the podcast. And this week, we start our new advertising campaign for the Absorber Towel. So I want to tell you that I love my job. It's really, really fun. And now I love it even more, if that's even possible, because of the Absorber Towel. It is really helping me out, Barbara. It is cutting my drying time tremendously. I took a picture of a dog that I had dried with the Absorber Towel, and it looked like a fluffy cotton ball instead of a slightly wet duckling. It was really neat. I'm very proud of myself for opening my mind up and testing out this new product with a vengeance, and listening to Barbara and to everybody else who told me to cut them in half. And I love it. It's fantastic. It saves space in my mobile unit. It's lightening up my laundry costs. The hair and the dirt rinses right off, and it's really, really long-lasting product. So if you guys are interested, you can find your Absorber Towel at dogloverstowel.com. Barbara, how was your week?
Oh, I had an interesting week. Well, you know, it seems to go by so fast. Like, what was that? Well, it was my week. I had a fun thing yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
A fun grooming experience yesterday. I had a young lady call for her. It was a new person, asked for an appointment for her dog, and she's a vet tech at a really kind of high-class vet clinic a little bit far away from me. But it's a big practice, and I was pleased to hear that she had chosen me. And she had a little dog, and I had a terrible time finding her a time because of our varying time schedules. So I put her in for late afternoon yesterday, and I just kind of like squeezed it in, and I thought, well, we'll just do it. Because I need the money, right? Well, she showed up and she has this adorable little, looks like kind of a terrier chihuahua. mix, and she had clipped the body herself, but she hadn't done anything with the head, and it had all of this kind of spiked out face and head, which she loved. And so I said, well, you know, like, what would you like to see done today? And, you know, I want to get the expectations there. And she was kind of having difficulty. It turned out she wanted the dog trimmed some, but not to change its appearance. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he has a look and she wants to keep it.
The dog has a look and she wants to keep it, but she wants it to be more purposeful, right?
Tidier.
Yeah, tidier. And I said, well, what I'd like to do is just kind of shorten some of this and do under the eyes and do a little bit over the eyes so that you can see the dog's face and just kind of make it all mean something. So all the, on the top of the head, I said, oh, look, I said, he's got a natural mohawk going here. We could shorten that and put some color on it. Well, she didn't quite go for the color thing.
Darn.
Although I think she may down the line. But the other thing that we could do, which we ended up doing, we could tie all of that together in a little top knot. So that's what we ended up doing. We ended up tying the top of the head in the top knot, and Yvonne put a little turquoise bow on it that perfectly matched the bow that the owner had put on the collar. So the dog was all spiffed up with a little bow. I used my chunkers, and I just trimmed the stuff so that the face was balanced, and I took the eyebrows, the spiky stuff that was a covering her eyes, I gelled it down a little bit over her eyes so that the eyes were open and everything, but I hadn't really cut off the bangs. I just reshaped them.
You left his mojo intact.
Yeah, I left his mojo intact. She was so pleased. You know, I nailed it for her.
Excellent.
And she was so pleased, and I was so happy to have this person from that big practice. Oh, and it turns out that that's the vet clinic that my poodle lady uses. And the poodle lady was sitting with her dog when the new customer came in to pick up her baby, right? So she got to see that Katie Scott was my customer.
That's cool.
Yeah, that was cool too. So speaking of the poodle lady, I upped her price. I have been really good this year, just jumping people's price $5 per dog.
Good.
And I did it, and this is the perfect time of year to just go for that and just say, okay, the new price, your 2020 price is going to be a little bit more. And so I upped her $5 a dog, $10 a dog. I went from $75 each to $85 each for these miniature poodle. But they're big miniatures.
Oh, I like those. I like to do those.
Yeah, I do. But, you know, They're almost as much work as a standard poodle, and especially that they're styled and scissored and all of that, right? She didn't blink, and she still tipped me like $30.
Good, you know, you're worth it.
So that's good. So you know, like I'm just explaining to people that. I don't have to explain anything, but the truth is, I'm very happy with my reduced volume grooming. I don't want to go back to doing 8 dogs a day or 10. I want to stay at 6 to 8.
Yeah.
And yesterday it was 5, but 2 of those were scissored poodle types. And the other thing that I told the poodle lady was that it sort of is turning out that I'll do one dog first, and I put a lot of time into that dog, and then I don't have enough time to do the same degree of work on the second dog. And so I want to make that just above board and understand that I will be doing that. I'll be doing, one to perfection and the other a trim up and just outline the profile, and that'll be good. Yeah, and alternate. And I raised her price. And she didn't bat an eye. So, you just got to be brave. You just got to take care of yourselves, and you just got to be brave and ask for what you need.
Yes.
Absolutely. I'm trying to take that advice of my own.
Right.
And I'm doing it pretty much. There's just a couple of customers where I've chickened out of that. I bought a pair of $24 chunkers off of Amazon.
Yeah?
Yeah, and they were like red and black, with an ergonomic handle, and I thought, and one of the reasons I bought them is because they were red and black, because then I knew it would be really easy for me to direct Yvonne to them. So she'll say, what do you need from your, we're working in another room, and she'll say, what do you need from your table? And I could say, the red chunkers. Right? She'll know
yes.
She'll know exactly. That's the only red and black shears in the place. She's going to know exactly what they are and bring them to me if I ask for them. So that was one thing. And the other thing is, chunkers go dull faster than any other shear.
Yes.
It just seemed like it would make sense to get a cheap pair. And I don't know exactly what I think about them. So I use them for 2 days. I use them a lot, and they seem to cut very well. On the third day, it became kind of a meh. And it might be because I scissored hair that I had used scissoring spray on. There was a little, that's also like a bodifier. It's slightly stickies the hair. Well, gummy. It doesn't stick. It's not gummy. It's the eye groom scissoring spray, which is delightful.
Oh.
And it's just a light hold, but nonetheless, it might have stuck to the scissors. So I cleaned them off real good with an alcohol solution, and we'll see again next week. But I sure would like to be able to give them a thumbs up, because it was a reasonable buy, and they're kind of cool looking. They're not as good looking as I thought they were going to be from the picture, because the black and the red are matte. They're not polished colors.
Uh-huh.
So it's a little bit less outstanding than I hoped. But nonetheless, we'll carry on and keep you informed. And if I like them well enough, I'll post a picture.
Excellent.
Excellent.
I like that. I want to get some colorful shears that have a coating on them so they don't get rusty, and I have to then spend a long amount of time trying to clean them out because I didn't remember to oil them the night before.
Yeah, you know, I love my Evolution swivel thumb chunkers, but they're dull, and now to get them properly sharpened, I think I need to send them back to the folks, and that's gonna just like cuss a whole lot. Back and forth shipping.
I know, it's
a
drag.
Yeah, and they're not cheap to sharpen. So that's another reason to just get cheap ones. And because $25 is what I'll pay to get these sharpened.
We have a restaurateur locally who feels that way about his knives. He's like, these people who spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on the knives are crazy. He says, I just buy the knives at the kitchen supply store and I use them till they're dull, and then I throw them away and get another one, which is very not PC here in Seattle, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure. Well, you could give them away.
Yes, that's what I do.
Repurpose them. Let someone else, what the hell. So, anyway.
Okay.
Anyway,
well,
so.
Talking.
I had a kind of a sad thing that happened with a client this week.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, first of all, a little background information is that I've had two clients kind of just like drop out, miss an appointment, and not respond to any emails or messages, right? One of them is Yoshi the Screamer.
Oh, uh-oh.
And he missed an appointment, and he hasn't gotten back to me from any texts or emails. Maybe he lost his phone. I don't know. I don't understand it. And the other one is a very elderly man who recently we had a spell where he fell and he broke his back or something and he had to go into rehab. And, you know, his friends brought the dog in. And then we were okay for a few months, but we realized that he's kind of feeble. And we would have offered pickup service, except that he lives way the hell out of town. So I was thinking, gee, maybe I should find a closer groomer for Otto. And he missed his before Christmas appointment and hasn't been reachable. And I fear that something has happened there.
Yeah.
Now, the one that I do know about is the one that we visited on Friday. So we have another customer who is kind of getting older and having physical problems. And she has a little Shih Tzu that she brings in every 4 weeks. And this is her second dog that I've worked on for her. So I've been grooming for her for over 10 years, probably more like 15 years. And she told us a couple of months ago that she was diagnosed with Parkinson's and she couldn't bring the dog in. Well, I mean, she was going to have trouble doing that. So Yvonne offered to pick up and deliver the dog, which we did for two times. And then she called Yvonne and told Yvonne that her doctor had told her she has 6 months to 12 months to live. And would Yvonne be willing to take Lily, the dog? So Yvonne was headed over there to have a conversation after work on Friday. And I offered to go with her because this woman has been my client for a long time. And she always gives beautiful Christmas gifts and, you know, just really thoughtful, easygoing, nice woman. And I wanted to find out what was going on because it didn't make any sense that if she'd just been diagnosed with Parkinson's that she was going to die in within a year. That doesn't usually happen that fast. And so we went over there and I just asked her right out, what's going on? And she said, well, in the course of some testing or some treatment of the Parkinson's, she has a kidney problem that she's been struggling with for decades that suddenly flared up and is going to take her out.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah. And so I sat there and I talking to this woman, and she said that they suggested electrolysis or dialysis.
They don't want to remove her hair.
Well, I knew it was a system. So.
Yes.
Dialysis, but she was going to refuse. And I asked her why she was refusing, and she said she has nobody.
Aww.
Friends have faded away. Her husband died just after she got this little dog. And she has a sister in Phoenix, but they don't communicate a lot, and that's a long way away. You know what? She has nothing to live for.
Yeah, that's sad.
And I got it so clear that this lovely lady has nothing to live for, and she's probably not as old as I am.
Yeah, you got to make something to live for, I think. If you don't reach out and make it happen, it doesn't just accidentally happen.
Yeah, I know. But in the meantime, I pledged that Yvonne and I would visit her weekly.
Oh, good. That helps.
Because I want to keep her on track.
I get it.
I don't want her to fall. You know, and Yvonne was so redundantly explicit that she should call her for anything. She's like me. She needs a house cleaner, but the last people that came in stole all her jewelry.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that sucks. That happened to my lady that has cancer as well. My good friend. She actually, I went over there just recently. She always gives me things. I got a new coat. She gave me a new coat for my birthday. We call her the couch lady because we bought a couch from her. Oh. She has a blood cancer and she has something else in her insides growing. And, you know, we're on limited time. But the key is to just treat her the same as always and not treat her like we only have one visit because that's just too damn depressing. So we don't know when it'll happen, but we just visit like normal. You get so attached to these people.
Well, and I just felt obliged. Therefore, the grace of God go I, you know, right. And I said, you know, I just would not be able to live thinking of her just shriveling up on the vine by herself with a little dog, you know, like, oh, shit, she's got to have some contact. Like I asked her, do you have a life support button, you know? Medic alert, yeah.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
Right. Well, we all almost fell, stumbled. I mean, she's got little steps and stuff in her house and in her, and getting to the front door. And she has a nice lock gate at her front door, which I had that. And, but it's all cumbersome and she's very wobbly. And she's walking around without her cane. It's laying on the floor. She probably can't pick it up. Yvonne picked it up for her. You know, so I asked her, and she said, well, I've thought of that. So, okay, let's plan to do that, you know?
Good. I think that's great.
Let's plan to get Yvonne and her daughter Yvette over to clean her house. I'm going to talk to her. I'm going to get her to set some priorities. And then we'll try to hook her up. I ought to hook her up with my other old lady friend who's living alone with a dog.
Yeah.
Polly. You know, they Polly can still drive and all of that stuff and gets around. She's just very stove up, crippled. You're having snow?
Well, they're, and as much as they can predict the weather in the Pacific Northwest, which is not very well, we have right now it's 39 and raining, and it's only going to get colder because they're predicting a cold front. They are pretty good at the temperatures. They can predict what temperature it's going to be. They just can't always predict what precipitation is going to happen. And in this case, it's raining now. It's going to continue to rain, and the temperature is going to drop. So we're pretty much in a snowmageddon situation. So I just wanted to go over a little snow prep for everybody. So this is an unexpected mobile moment. Look out. Here it comes. It's your mobile moment. The things that I have to do today is text my tomorrow appointments and give them the weather warning. Just a little bit of a heads up that there might be trouble on the horizon. I'm going to get up in the morning. Okay. I'm going to go to the news station and the internet. And I'm going to see what, well, and my window, which I'll be checking on that long
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, first thing.
But I live in a weather anomaly. We get snow here when there isn't snow 2 miles from here. So sometimes I can't really tell what's happening in the real world by looking out my own window. But the traffic department here in Seattle and the greater Seattle area has really good traffic cameras. So you can check what's happening on freeways and some of the major arterials. So I'll do that. I'll also check my client weather reporters. I go to certain areas. I have certain clients I'm closer to than others, and I will text people in the area and find out what the weather is. So I call those my weather reporters. I'll check with them. And then most importantly, I'll look to see what the schools are doing, because if the schools are canceled, I'm not going out. It's not an essential service to have your dog groomed. I don't care what people think. It's not worth going out in a mobile grooming rig and getting on the roads and having someone hit you or have you accidentally go into the ditch, and then you're out of work for who knows how long. Maybe having people come to your house, that's an option. But don't get out there on the road. One of our local girls was talking about how she got chains for her grooming van. And I said, don't put chains on your grooming van for dog grooming. It's silly. It's not worth the risk. So don't even bother to do it. Non-essential services shouldn't be on the roads anyway, especially here where it's all hills, because we just get in the way. So stay home if the schools are closed. Stay home if you can't get out your driveway, in my case. And then you're going to need to reschedule people. But my warning is, don't reschedule them until the roads are clear. Because in this neighborhood with our weird weather, you can think it's going to clear, and it may clear like 20 miles, 15 miles from you, but 10 miles or 5 miles, it's still snowy and the back roads are bad. So do wait until the snow is gone before you reschedule people. And then for your vehicle, you want to do a little trailer or van prep. You want to make sure the faucet is covered with a faucet cover, like a little one of those styrofoam doodads that looks like a boob cover.
Yeah.
Just throw that over the top of your faucet and make sure you can still actually use your faucet. And then you should have some kind of a backup hose that you can get water through and store. Like in our case, we store it in the garage so it doesn't freeze. And it's a really annoying curly hose. I hate it, but it works. It has a really small diameter, so it like gets a trickle of water through to fill the trailer. It takes forever to fill my horse water, but then I hang it and I use that for my cold weather hose. I also heat my water compartment where my hose and water pump are so that everything can keep running, because if I am going to work, I do work in the cold. I just don't work in the snow. So I want to make sure that everything flows freely. And the last thing that I have to do here is to make sure that I've parked in a way that I can get in or out if I need to, or work in the driveway if I have to. So that's my snow prep. That's what I get to do tonight. Woohoo!
Oh, boy. I am so glad I don't have to do that.
I guess I'm a little jealous. But I'll survive. You know, the happy news is I got a new TV, and if I am snowed in, I get to watch the big TV and work on the podcast.
I saw it. It really looks good in your room there. I think I'll come visit. But not if it's snowing, and not if it's 38 and raining, and don't you have a big football game today?
Yes, we do. Go Hawks. Yeah, we'll see what happens. We don't have any players.
Is that a home game?
Worse than that, we're at Green Bay.
Oh, Jesus.
We're deep in the snow.
Oh, God, I know.
They actually apparently bring in the fans to clear the field, so that's how bad it is out there. It's bad.
Ugh.
Yeah, but it'll be fun to watch on the big new TV.
Yeah, so
that'll be so cool.
Then.
We don't have a lot of chance because everybody's hurt, but we're going to give it our best go. And the Seahawks have been known to pull out miracles, so I'm crossing my fingers. You know who else pulls out miracles is Best Shot. They do it every single day, and we're going to hear about it right now. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. You know that my history is veterinary grooming. I started as a vet receptionist and a vet tech assistant kind of a person. And then I went to a hospital manager, and then I took the groomer to cash her paycheck, and she wasn't a great groomer, and she smelled like cigarettes, and her check was way more than mine, and she was leaving early in the afternoon, and I learned how to groom, and that was that. I continued to stay at the vet hospital and groom there because I really, really enjoyed the environment. And I do still like to go through and say hello and support the grooming staff at the vet hospital that I worked at the last hospital I worked at, because I did work at 14 different hospitals in one corporation where I moved around and visited and did work at a bunch of different hospitals. Wow. So I have a lot of experience with...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, moved around a lot there for them for a little while. Anyway...
Were you just filling in for groomers that weren't there or were sick or something?
It wasn't always for grooming. I did reception work as well, where I went and did some fill-in works at different hospitals. And yeah, grooming, I've only really groomed at 3 different hospitals at this point. Yeah, but I still love the environment. And I wanted to talk about some of the pros and cons of being a veterinary groomer. And the reason this came up is because the guy that I work for, the guy who I still use as my dog and cat and sometimes occasionally exotic animal vet, he called me up really bummed and he asked me to come back and he offered me a full corporate package, including matching 401k and sick pay and vacation pay and
all this security.
Yeah, and 55%. All I had to work was 32 hours. So I had to really go home. I mean, I'm honored that still, after this many years, he still wants me back there. That makes me feel really good. So I went home and I thought about the pros and cons of working at the vet hospital and if I really wanted to continue being a mobile groomer forever. And the quick ending to the story is, yes, I do want to continue to be a mobile groomer forever. I love it and I don't want to go back inside. But I really had to assess the things that were really good about being at a vet hospital. And the possibility of having a full benefits package if you get into a hospital that has, you know, maybe multiple locations or really offers that, that is a really nice, sweet perk. Did you ever get benefits as a groomer?
No, none.
Yeah, it's nice. And you can tell they're desperate when they're throwing around a benefits package.
Yeah, right.
If you get in the right place, they have that kind of stuff. Whereas not many grooming salons, some of them have some benefits that go along with it.
One of the problems in the grooming industry is that there's not an identifiable ladder to success. You know what I'm saying?
Very true.
And where it gets kind of sticky is that there's no tangible benefit to becoming certified. It's
right.
Just a marketing device that you have to use.
Yes, they didn't offer me more money, more commission than they're paying their regular groomers because I have letters after my name. That had nothing to do with it. They don't even care or know about the letters.
I know.
It's a shame.
It is a shame.
Because it should make a difference.
It should make a difference. And in other professions, there's more steps. You know what I mean? Yeah, there's
yes.
Just a ceiling. There's this silly ceiling in grooming where, you know, you're maxed out. And nothing you do to get better means anything tangible to employers. So I don't know. I think that's just
right.
A problem within our industry that we're going to have to deal with. And maybe in the future, when those days of licensing come to us all, maybe something like that will get carved out. I don't know.
That would be probably wise.
Yeah, yeah.
Another really good benefit for people like Barbara and myself oftentimes get discounted vet care. Who doesn't love discounted
yeah,
vet care?
Really.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I know.
Also, you get to learn about the vet industry as a whole, and you can really have access to people who have a lot of knowledge that you wouldn't normally get to rub elbows with. You get access to support and help. And that is one that you really don't appreciate until you're a mobile groomer by yourself, especially when you're a cat groomer. There's nobody to call to say, hey, can I have a hand? You want to put a hand on this? But in the vet hospital, they will often let you borrow a tech or an assistant or even a receptionist to come and help you handle an animal that you might need some help on. Barbara, yeah. You have help.
Yeah.
You have the singing bather, Yvonne.
I have the singing bather, Yvonne. Well, yeah, and you know what? Ever since she's been there with her sporadic singing bursts, I can't sing. I can't.
Oh, no. You're not right.
Hey, I actually worked as a blues singer for 5 or 6 years. And now if I start to sing, she's going to take over.
Yeah, I get it.
Dave the Slave used to love it when I sang. And I used to sing.
Oh, I love it when you sing.
I can't because she just interrupts it. So anyway, that's just another, what a little stupid, petty fucking gripe.
I know.
So wait a minute. What were we talking about? What was that?
Oh, I was just telling you how great it is to have vet staff for help.
Oh, you know, when I was a mobile, which I was for 6 months, that's a big deal. 6 months, I would just ask the owner. I would just go in and say, hey, can you help me with it? And actually, I had a couple of those dogs where I had the client help me that followed me to my shop, that gave up the access to a mobile groomer because we had it worked out between the two of us. We got their difficult dog through a grooming.
Well, there is that, definitely.
Some pet owners are better helpers than others.
Yes.
That's the truth. Okay.
You know what I hate doing the most in the whole world is cleaning after I'm done at work. I hate cleaning. I do it, but I hate it. Well, in my contract at the last vet hospital, they did all the clean. Actually, at every hospital I ever worked at, they cleaned after me because I just never really do quite as good a job as someone who comes in there and cleans as their job. Yeah. So I contend it's better to have someone other than me cleaning the grooming room. So that's another thing that sometimes you can get. And sometimes that grooming room is really nice in the vet hospitals. They give you your own room. You've got doors, so you've got your own space, but you're still part of a hospital.
And sometimes the groom room ain't so good.
Well, we're going to talk about that, actually. Let's start with things that are kind of meh, as the Simpsons would say. Before we go there, I wanted to mention that sometimes you get reception staff also. So you get reception staff and cleaning staff and support staff that you don't get all the time in other shops. That is also one of the bad things about being in a vet hospital. Absolutely, positively. You may or may not get any of...
Yeah, you may not get any help, and they may be some kind of a little know-it-all.
That's exactly right. You can end up with none of the really cool benefits that we just talked about if you get in the wrong spot. You can find that the pay varies tremendously. I was lucky I was always able to negotiate my contracts, but if you don't get to do that, the pay may be not so good in a vet hospital compared to working on your own, especially, or being mobile.
You know, like 50% of what? That's a question you need to ask in any job search, is that it's not so much the percentage you need to worry about. How much are they charging? Because if they're not charging a good price, you're not going to even, you would have to get 70% of that to make a living.
That definitely falls under the not so fun department. You don't have much control.
In some cases, there is not the same degree of value from the vet staff to the grooming staff as we deserve in every situation. There's some vets, they highly value our skills and what we do, but there are other staff members that devalue the grooming, and so they don't charge enough for it.
Sometimes that staff member is the receptionist, and they are having the contact, first and last contact with your clients, and that can really affect your tips. And that is another thing that can kind of be a downside to working at a vet hospital. Sometimes you don't get the client contact unless you really fight for it. You just get the dog brought back by the receptionist. That does affect the amount of money people tip you, because you have to have a bond with them for them to tip you. I fully believe.
Yeah, I believe that too.
The staff, definitely grouchy doctors and grouchy techs and really grouchy receptionists can make your life miserable. The loss of control that we talk about extends from your scheduling to the amount you get paid, the amount you charge, and the products you can use, and the type of pets you get to groom. All of that can be completely out of your control at a vet hospital sometimes.
Right.
So here's the thing that I really want to get out there. For those of you who don't think of it this way, just take a moment and think of it this way. Grooming is not a money-making proposition for the vet hospital. It is a wash at best, and at worst, it can be a liability. It doesn't make the doctors any money. It doesn't bring the hospital any money, because as it turns out, people will walk right in, drop their dog, and walk right out and not do anything else. But this is where you as a vet groomer can come in and really affect, number one, the way the doctors view you as a participant in the vet hospital that you're working at. And number two, the value you provide for your clients. And that is, the way to be a benefit to the hospital is to find the medical problems that need to be seen. And while your dog is conveniently there, have them seen. People will make your vet appointment and schedule procedures, so you will have a natural interaction with the vet techs and with the doctors, hopefully. You need to play on that. You need to really get in there, and you need to bring things to their attention that then can be turned into appointments for the vets. That's how you become a respected part of a vet hospital.
Got it.
And if you do that, I guarantee you, if the people haven't completely lost their mind, because because it's a small business and that can be there, you can deal with wives and demographics amongst the staff that makes it difficult. But if you provide a valued service, as in you're bringing appointments into the vet hospital that wouldn't be seen normally, that makes grooming a value to them, and that makes you personally a value and an asset to the hospital. Okay. Evolution Shears time, Barbara. Then we're going to go back to school. Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution Shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution Shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution Shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution Shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris, because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order, or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website, and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that?
Up in the morning and out to school. Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Back to school time, Barbara. Definition du jour. It's up to you to tell me how surfactants interact with each other in the shampoo formula.
Well, first of all, I think it's important to acknowledge that surfactants do interact with each other in the shampoo. So this is the old saying, you will hear me say it a lot, that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. The surfactants can affect the performance of each other. Now, formulators are going to choose surfactants that interact with each other in a positive way. I ran into a technical piece the other day while I was working on my new, improved, and really so cool groomer's glossary that will be coming out soon. But I'm going to read this, and it's technical, and so get your chemistry hat on.
I'm going to grab my lab coat. Hang on a second.
Okay, get your lab coat on. Get looking scientific.
Okay, I'm back. I've got the lab coat. I'm ready.
Okay, here's the statement. I'm reading this. The thickness of a surfactant solution depends on how closely the micelles pack together. Since cleaning products are typically made from charged surfactants, the outer surfaces of the micelles have a specific charge density that causes them to repel other micelles. So now a micelle is like a little sphere of molecules that have clustered together around the oil or sebum or whatever that you're trying to emulsify, right?
Right.
So what he's saying is that when the surface charge density is lowered by adding salt, for example, the particle pack together more closely and the solution thickens. So this is the reason that salt is often used to adjust the viscosity or thickness of detergent systems. So this is interesting because this suggests that the thickness of a shampoo might have a little more to do with just that we value psychologically a thicker solution as being more effective or more concentrated.
Yeah.
The consumer values a thicker solution, and also a thicker solution helps you spread the stuff out better. Now, this is if you're grooming by hand. If you're grooming in a bathing system, thickness doesn't make any difference at all. But I got interested in this business about the charge density of the micelles. And here is another statement. A study shows that minimizing damage to proteins of the skin involves lowering surfactant charge density. And this is the mechanism by which an amphoteric surfactant like cocamidopropyl betaine reduces the irritation potential of an anionic surfactant like sodium lauryl sulfate. So isn't that interesting? That's the mechanism by I've often stated, I've known, I've learned that cocamidopropyl betaine reduced the irritation potential of a sulfate-based shampoo, and it was often a co-surfactant important, and now I know why it's doing that. It lowers the surfactant charge density so that the micelles pack together more, right?
Okay, that's totally chemistry.
That is totally chemistry. I told you.
I'm glad I have the coat on.
I'm glad you have the coat on.
Yeah.
And so that is one of the ways that they formulate in order to utilize a strong cleanser but minimize its aggressiveness to the skin, the proteins of the skin. So the other thing that sometimes gets disturbed on the skin by a strong shampoo is the lipids or the oils and fats of the skin. So what happens is that when you have a strong surfactant like sodium lauryl sulfate, ammonium lauryl sulfate, and even the ethoxylated ones like sodium laureth sulfate, blah, 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 they clean very well. They grab the dirt and they grab the soils and they grab the excess sebum, but sometimes they grab the proteins of the skin or they grab the lipids of the skin, and then they can make for a irritation, right?
Little harshness.
Here's a furthermore. You ready for a furthermore?
Furthermore,
the addition of long-chain fatty acids lowers the tendency of a surfactant system to damage lipid membranes. This is perhaps due to their ability to act as a buffer against micelle lipid extraction by micelles and to deposit and replenish some of the fatty acid lipids during cleansing. Our studies also show that polar moisturizing oils, such as triglyceride oils, also reduce surfactant binding to proteins. So sunflower triglycerides, which, by the way, Show Season uses in almost every one of their shampoos, they not only reduce the damage to lipid membranes and add back in some fatty acid lipids, but they also reduce damage to proteins and in turn make the cleansers milder toward skin. Now, this is why you can't just look at the first two ingredients and freak out. Oh man, sodium lauryl sulfate in here. Well, I'm not using this shit.
It's a whole recipe.
It's the whole recipe. It's the whole formulation. We need to be able to not cherry pick single ingredients as good or bad. We need to look at the amount and how they're used in the formula. You know, one of the things about silicones that we rarely talk about is that they can be extremely effective at very low amounts in a formulation. You don't need a whole lot of silicone to make a nice result.
They really get around.
Yeah, they really get around. So in that way, they're very cost effective for the manufacturer because a little bit makes a big difference. And the same thing is here with you just need to look at the whole and not just the pieces and make judgments of a shampoo by the pieces. And now I'm beginning to understand or get information at how these surfactants, the surfactant action is altered by other ingredients, right?
Right.
So these actions that are reducing surfactant charge density and adding triglyceride oils, these actions allow skin to maintain its moisture and biologic functions, the barrier functions. Got it?
I got it. And it lets us keep using those really great surfactants that clean so well that we need for dog grooming.
Right. Dogs are really dirty. They're much dirtier than, you know, the dangers, the drawbacks of sulfates only come in when you're shampooing like every day or some people twice a day. That's a lot of aggressive cleaning going on. And when you're staying that clean and just removing a little bit of sebum that might have collected in the last 24 to 48 hours, you can get by with a very mild formula.
And probably should.
and probably should. And then just have a clarifying shampoo on hand to use once a month or every other month or something like that to just be sure that you're removing anything that might have hung on. Well, we did a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel. Peter came in yesterday, and he hadn't been in since September. And they live in an apartment complex with asphalt all around it. So they're walking on asphalt. These dogs in Tucson that walk on asphalt, they get dirty. It starts at their feet, and it just climbs up their legs, and then they're underfunctioned. That's what happens to Pee-wee, the Maltese that I did the great before and after pictures of.
Yes, I remember.
People think that he's sleeping in the fireplace, and it's soot. You know,
it looks like it.
So we even asked the owner, "Hey, do you have a fireplace?" You know? No, it's a parking lot. It's the premises. That's where they're walking. I said, "You better try walking on the grass. You get a few stickers, but you don't get that black stuff all the way up the dog's legs." We have asphalt dirt here in Tucson, and it took Yvonne she used a blue whitener first, she didn't think the dirt was coming all out. So then she used a grime time, and then it was still looking dirty to her. She did a bath bomb, and then the dog came out so snow white. Oh, my goodness, it was beautiful. The owner was so impressed because she bathes the dog, and she can't get that stuff out.
That's why she goes to the professional.
And that's why she goes to the professional. And you know what? I charged $80 for that dog yesterday. And
yeah.
it was just a trim up. But it was matted. It was matted. It took an hour for Yvonne to brush it out. And it was filthy. And the owner knew it. And she didn't blink and she tipped. So,
excellent.
You know, there again, you got to ask for what you need.
Welcome to 2020.
Yeah, welcome to 2020. I probably could have gotten by charging even more, but I want her to come back. She was very impressed by the whiteness and the cleanliness that we got. So I hope that that wasn't too technical, but it just goes to show you there's chemical interactions going on within the formula that we're not too savvy of. And I just hope to give you a little bit of insight, a little bit of chemistry, so that you can start to understand some of what's going on inside the works there.
Let's take a quick break and hear from show season, and then we will be back with our At the Table segment, which is all about talking to your boss about products. So, Barbara, what's new over at show season? I got an inkling. A little bird told me there might be something coming down the pipeline. What is it?
Yeah, I'm excited because show season now has hemp conditioner. So we've already reviewed and appreciated the hemp shampoo that they have. It's a non-sulfate shampoo, seems to be very mindfully formulated. And in the past, what we would do if we wanted to have additional conditioning, more serious conditioning, we would use their hypoconditioner. But now they have a conditioner that's been formulated to match up with the hemp shampoo made by the same formulator. So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to trying that. I just got wind of it. So we'll try some out and get back to you on that.
I love this about show season. They're always looking for ways to better the products. They're looking for new things they can infuse in there. They're so willing to work with our ideas, and they're just great people over there, aren't they?
They really are, and they really do listen to groomers, and they're always upgrading and improving and adding to, and if there's a certain fragrance that you just got to have in a shampoo, you need to tell them about it.
Yeah, that's cool because they are also environmentally thoughtful, and they're trying to keep their local sources. And yeah, no, they're great people. And if you guys want to support a great company like Show Season that supports the Groom Pod, you can do so by going to their website, showseasongrooming.com. And if you haven't already, set up your wholesale account and do that on the phone. Their phone number is 678-382-0218, or email if you already have their setup. But really, they're at lots of local distributors. They're all over the place. I think that they're at Groomers Mart, but I know that they're at Cascade Grooming Supply. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. Talking to your boss about products is difficult enough, especially when they may or may not be groomers or have experience in dog bathing. But it's extra specially difficult when you know tremendously more about the product than your boss does. So Barbara and I were contemplating, how do you go about doing this? Barbara, what thoughts do you have?
Fortunately, I haven't been in that situation. So now I'm going to claim no expertise on this. But there has to be a way to, sometimes what happens is that the boss is kind of like no longer a groomer. And so their choices are sometimes based on their knowledge and experience from 10 or 20 years ago. And your knowledge and experience, your knowledge is based more on current networking online. We just grow so much faster because of the internet. The word spreads so much faster, like the iGroom products. Look at how they took off, and it was just because of the internet. If they had been on an older model, it would have taken a decade for iGroom to build up to the business level they're at today after only 3 or 4 years. We sometimes just are more savvy about products than our bosses. And the way to bring that up is you need to be careful that you're not superimposing your authority over them.
It's funny because as groomers, we have all these fantastic avoidance techniques that we use. One of my favorite avoidance techniques is to go buy it myself and bring it in and spend my own money on it rather than have that conversation, because I hate confrontation. I hate it. And I'll complain, gee, they won't let me use this online. That's another way I kind of avoid facing the fact that we've got to have the conversation. But you do have to have the conversation. And I think that these tips that I got off the internet might be helpful.
Oh, you got some tips. Okay.
I did, because, you know, that's the kind of girl I am.
Well, I was just going to try to stumble through some. I was just going on the basis of my psychology background.
And I don't have that, so I have to look it up.
Okay, so what did you find?
So I found out that you want to make sure to set a time and a place where it's not distracting for the person you need to talk to, because it's really counterproductive to try and do it in the middle of a busy grooming day. You need to have a few minutes, and you need to have a place that's not in the middle of the salon with other things going on. So you're dead on that one. Your intuition is right on, Barbara. Then it needs to kind of be convenient for them more than for you, because they are the one you're trying to convince. So know your audience. Know what your boss prefers. If your boss likes to go out to eat, take them out to eat and have the conversation.
Well, and you can always ask for a conversation. Like, is there a time when we could talk about products?
I like it.
Yeah, you know, if you're asking instead of demanding or just superimposing it, you know, and that's what we often do, is we often build up steam on it within ourselves, right? We're chewing on it. We're mentally chewing on it. We're mentally chewing on it. And then all of a sudden, it comes out.
Yep. Content's under pressure.
Yeah, so don't do that. Don't chew on it and chew on it and steam on it. But just ask for the conversation and ask for a time in a place, you know, like, I'd like to have a few minutes of your time to talk about product choices. Is there a convenient time we could set aside for that? You know, and then they can kind of be prepared that you're going to bring something to them.
And you said it, be prepared, have notes, yeah. Know what you're going to talk about. Don't waste that person's time because they're not really interested in your grooming at this point. They want to make their money and or get out and drive around in their Corvette and pick up dudes or whatever it is that your boss wants to do. See, I retain stuff. So you want to make sure that it's convenient for them and that you are prepared and really important. Go in positive. Speak positive. Use positive words. Don't go in and complain about the negativity of having to use that silly product that they bought 15 years ago and has been sitting back there without the groomer ever having touched it for so long. And now you stumble in and they say, use this or whatever it is. Make sure that you're spinning it so that you found this great product and you want to share it and you want to use it because it's going to be great for the customers and it's going to be great for the business and blah, blah, blah.
And good for the dogs. Yeah, and you can also couch it in that you've learned something that you'd like to share.
Great point.
Yeah.
That always opens people up.
You want to try to open their mind to what you've got to say rather than confront them in a way that they get defensive and, well, that's the way we've always done it, and that's the way we'll do it now. You know, like, you got to crack through that by not being too, well, you know.
By being positive.
By being positive, yeah. By being positive, yes. And you've been thinking about how this might benefit the place, the practice, our work, our. Use the terms that don't separate you from them. Do you see what I mean? We could use this.
I sure do. Be inclusive.
Yeah, be inclusive.
And very important. Sometimes when you're right in front of them, they can seem like they're getting it and it can look like it's being digested and you're going to come up with a solution. And then time is your enemy and you walk away from the meeting. And if you don't follow through, then it just goes by the wayside because it's not on the forefront of the person's mind, your boss. So follow through by contacting them again about the problem in a positive way and ask for their decision or their input or something like that.
Well, and also you can do that before you leave. You can pave the way.
For sure.
Any ideas how we can go forward with this idea, right?
Make them part of the decision.
If they think it's their decision, they're going to be more likely to act on it, you know? So you want to incorporate them into, you know, and you want to enroll them in your enthusiasm for something new or something different and not just disparage the current protocol. But here's something new that we might try to give an added value to our service, our service. Added value.
Oh, yeah. Value is a good word. I like to have the product on hand in a sample form if you can get it so that you can share it with them right there on the spot and they can smell it and touch it and feel it and see that it's right there and it's a professional looking product for them to be interested in using. And then if you hear them using some of the old cliches or being afraid of certain surfactants or maybe perhaps silicones or something like that, make sure you bring up the groom pod and play it for them so that they too can learn about ingredients of certain areas that they may not understand. A lot of times, once they stop grooming, or if they've never been a groomer, they just don't follow through with current technology. Barbara, another fascinating show has come and gone, and I've got some dogs to groom, so I'm going to dash out of here. But I've loved spending the morning with you and with all of our friends out in grooming land. And thank you to all our Patreon puppies. We really appreciate you. If you guys want to support the show, i.e. tip your groomers, you can go to our website, thegroompod.com, and look for the Patreon banner, and then give us a tiny, teeny tip every month or a big, gigantic one, whatever works for you, and we will really appreciate it. Otherwise, happy grooming, everybody, and we will be here next week for you. Bye-bye now.
Take care. See you next week, Susie. Happy birthday.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara at barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.